ain't no wannabes here with some not so nice advice for your writing career. To be clear, no punches will be pulled, but the punch may be spiked. How they like before they get on the mic. To my left we got the mighty Mer Lafferty, and if I piss her off, believe me, she'll come after me. And her co-host Matt Evan Wallace on the right. Yes, she may be half as hype as she can take him in a fight. So settle in, folks, buckle in and boot up. Time to meddle in a way to make your writer shut up. It's hard work, but the perk is that it's fun and exciting. Facebook will still be there when you're done writing. Ditch Diggers! Ditch Diggers!
Coming to you live from the shelter-in-place shelter that's right beside the quarantine room in our manor. We decided to do those two rooms first. It is the Ditch Diggers with Mer Lafferty and Matt Wallace in the plague time.
How you doing, Mer?
I'm still healthy.
I'm still relatively healthy. As healthy as I was before the pandemic started, which wasn't that healthy to begin with, so.
Yeah.
I'm maintaining the status quo of marginal health.
Well, you sound better.
Yeah, no, I feel better. I was sick for a couple of weeks, like at the worst possible time to be sick, right when all of this was like really getting bananas. So that was fun. Then Nikki was sick and like nasally, and that lasted for weeks, and she's finally just getting over that. So that was really stressful, especially since she's having to still go into work every day despite the fact the rest of our state is on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
She works in the financial industry, so it's a whole thing. But yeah, we're both trying to stay as healthy as we can possibly stay under the circumstances here in the shelter at home shelter of the manor, or whatever it was you said just then. Mm-hmm. As you were saying that, I was picturing like a sign hung above the room that said all of the things you were saying. And that amused me. I was like, we took the time to name it the shelter at home shelter.
Yeah.
In the manor, which we decided to add, and we wrote a sign that said all of that. These are just the ways I amuse myself, you know, and we all need ways to amuse ourselves, Mark.
We do. We really do. For example, I have Nintendo Thumb now because of the new Animal Crossing release.
Everybody's playing the Animal Crossing. I'm not playing the Animal Crossing. I am playing a, like, 15-year-old Nintendo DS that a friend of mine gave me. I'm playing, like, Resident Evil and old games, but
Are you playing The Master of Unlocking?
The Master of Unlocking?
Yeah, the first Resident Evil game, when you chose who you wanted your avatar to be, if you chose the woman, he'd be like, ah, you, the Master of Unlocking. And no. that amused us so much, we've remembered it like 20-some years.
Yeah, I missed that. I missed that early meme before memes were really a thing.
Yes.
No, I mean, they both have knives, so I never really gave a shit, you know? I did find it incredibly offensive that, like, the dude is the hard mode and the woman is the easy mode.
Oh, wow, really?
Like, that's literally a thing, yeah.
Oh.
Like, if you pick Chris, that's the harder setting of the game.
Wow.
That's so fucking awful. I laugh. It's not funny. It's terrible. It's just so blatant.
Yeah.
So, like, right in your face. You know, you almost have to respect that level of misogyny. Because
yeah.
They're just like, we don't give a fuck. We're just, yeah, no, it's harder when you're a man, apparently. So, yeah, that is the thing. But otherwise, good game. You know, that guy, that horrible sexist.
Yeah.
It's a very good game. I enjoy it very much. So, yeah, no, you're all, the rest of you, I'm playing the retro stuff. The rest of you are all playing Animal Crossing. That's fine. I'm enjoying, like, people posting their Animal Crossing screenshots because I don't really understand what any of it means.
Yeah.
But it's all very interesting because it'll be like a little creepy kid mm-hmm. on like a deck or like something like that. And then in the background, there'll be like a weird, creepy creature
yeah.
peering up over the deck, just watching you with like a creepy smile on its face. And it all seems very sinister to me.
I'm not sure you're playing. You're looking at the right screenshots because this sounds like some sort of troll game.
I'm looking at just screenshots people are posting. And then, you know, it's like the little kid is painting things on the canvas, on the deck, and, you know, because all of my friends are really disturbed, all the things they're painting are, like, really disturbing.
I haven't gotten to where I can paint things or I have a deck yet, but
a deck. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm, like, projecting that, but it seems like every screenshot, it's, like, a creepy little kid on a, you know, on a deck slash balcony kind of deal.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm misrepresenting that, but that's my perception of Animal Crossing.
Okay.
I should do a video describing what I think Animal Crossing is.
You should.
Just based on all this anecdotal stuff, it would probably go viral. So.
Yeah.
Not that we need more things going viral. Hi-oh! There it is. That's not funny at all.
No.
So anyway. So how are you, Mer? How are the things besides Animal Crossing?
Things are going fine. We're trying to... We've kind of worked out a thing to do, the way to handle the home with the different rooms and the different people who need the different rooms. And, yeah, it's disappointing. My daughter's senior year is just kind of falling away because they just lengthened the time at home to May 15th. So, I mean, I'm wondering if they go back, what they think their kids are going to do in that last, like, 3 weeks. But, right.
Have a party?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, that's rough, man. I mean, you know, I hated high school and didn't finish it and was glad, but I know that's a big deal.
I think she's finally felt a good part of the school as a senior, and now she can't go. And we also just heard that Worldcon is going virtual, which I realize is a clumsy segue, but we're going with it. And so all we've done so far is book a hotel in New Zealand. And so we're not going to lose anything because we're just going to cancel that. But I'm glad we hadn't bought any tickets once we realized how bad this was. And the fact that it was going to go global, we were thinking, maybe this isn't a good idea. And so it was still up in the air because we keep thinking, maybe it'll be better by then. Except you got to do all the money and the planning way before that, while things are still bad. And so, and then, you know, the Worldcon made the decision for us by going virtual. And I feel really sorry for those people because they've been planning this for 10 years. Because I remember being at the 2010 Worldcon and seeing a, you know, there are joke bids for the Worldcon all the time. And I saw a New Zealand 2020 sign. And I thought it was a joke bid because I'd never seen anybody. I mean, granted, I hadn't been going to Worldcon very long, but I'd never even heard of anybody planning that far ahead. And they were, and they did. And this is what's happening.
Yeah, that's rough. I don't know why God hates the Kiwis, but clearly God does.
No, I'm pretty sure God hates us all right now.
Yeah, you can argue that, but them more so. I'm totally kidding. It's a terrible thing. I know plenty of people who have already booked flights and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, although they're keeping a very, like, the like friends that I have are keeping a very positive mental attitude about it, which I really appreciate. I appreciate people that are, like, seeing the bigger. They're very happy that Worldcon has made this decision so early. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're applauding that and focusing on it's probably the right thing to do rather than their own personal discomfort.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. I was kind of relieved the decision was taken from us because I could see us deciding not to go. Everything got better, and then hearing about everyone's trip to New Zealand and feeling really bad. So,
yeah.
But that's not going to happen, so that's good.
Dodge that bullet. I will say, you know, because these are the kind of things we're supposed to be saying because we're talking about this on our podcast about the writing business.
Mm-hmm.
Is we were talking about flights and whatnot in the thing and the thing. You don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I was in the.
I do, but I don't think everybody else does.
Yeah, I was in a Slack group. We were talking about the Slack, among other places, but that was the last place we were talking about it and. We were just like reiterating with everybody, don't assume that like if you booked flights that you're not going to be able to get money back or whatever. And I know this being married to Nikki for so long that like anytime we've had flight trouble, we've had non-refundable tickets or whatever, she will argue with them until they at least give you a credit towards another flight. So at the very least, you should be able to get that. Even if they tell you that they're not going to do that, you need to kind of harangue them a little bit until they do it, because they have the ability to do it. That's really the thing I want to get across to people. So a lot of people don't realize that. If you make a big enough mess about it, you don't have to be an asshole. You don't have to be rude. But you just have to keep asking to speak to more people until eventually somebody does it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've learned this over 10 years of being with my wife, who's a lawyer and refuses to eat plane tickets. And I've watched her do this dozens of times. So if you booked a flight and it seems like you're screwed, I really strongly advise you to like keep pursuing it until you get somebody who's willing to at least give you a credit towards another flight. Because that makes it a lot easier. Because that's what the people that got tickets to New Zealand, they still want to go to New Zealand. Like, they're really excited about mm-hmm. it. A lot of folks have never been to New Zealand before.
Yeah, me too.
Like, get the credit, wait. You'll go to New Zealand at a later time. But, like, don't give up on getting something for your tickets if you've already booked tickets. I strongly, strongly advise everyone to do that. And if you're not the kind of person who is able to do that, because a lot of people aren't. A lot of people aren't good at pressing, like, things like that on the phone, especially talking to people.
Like me.
Get someone who is good at that to do it for you. Like, everybody knows somebody who has the lawyering skills. That's why I married Nikki, because she's got the lawyering skills. Like, I haven't had to talk on the phone in a decade. She does the whole thing for me, so it's awesome. But yeah, don't give up on getting something for those flights if you've already booked and you're concerned about it, because you could probably at least get a credit for it.
Yeah. And yeah, we definitely still want to go to New Zealand.
Yeah, you should still get to go to New Zealand, man. Like, you know, you made the commitment, you invested the money, you made the plans, like, you should still get to go. So it's a good thing that World Cup is going virtual, but you should still get to go to New Zealand when it's safe to go to New Zealand, and as much as it's ever safe to go to New Zealand, because, you know, hobbits on meth and whatnot, like, that's a problem there, I know.
Yeah, I was more thinking of, like, flights and sharks and flying sharks.
Why are there sharks on the flights? Who would do that?
Well, when the plane crashes.
Oh, okay. I was thinking more like a snakes on the plane situation.
No, but possibly. But
it's sharks on a plane. I'm kind of surprised no one's done that. Although they kind of, you know, I saw a trailer for a Nick Cage movie that is apparently kind of that. So I
really? Because Snakes on a Plane was a big flop, and they that might have been the first social media flop, wasn't it?
Like, that's going to stop Nick Cage. No, it was.
Nothing stops Nick Cage.
All the buzz leading up to Snakes on the Plane, and then it didn't make any kind of... It didn't make the money they thought it was going to make. Turns out memes don't necessarily translate into cash. Who the fuck knew? You know?
Yeah. It's kind of like listener numbers or audience numbers or...
Theoretical things.
Yeah. You know?
Retention rates and whatnot. It was funny, though, because a friend of mine actually did the Snakes on a Plane novelization.
Oh, wow.
If you can believe such a thing. I mean, most movies have a novelization. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that. But she actually, I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes and this motherfucking plane thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, shockingly, Mer, was not in the script.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah. So that was, if you can believe that came from Samuel L. Jackson. I know it's tough to believe, but she had to actually go back in after she'd already turned in the book and like put that in there.
Well, they also put that scene in there, and it looked awful because it looked really out of place.
Yeah, it's terribly out of place, and you can just tell that it happened after the fact. And they were like, "We need to have this in there because that's what's going to make us the money." Is that one line?
Yeah, because they will all ask for their money back after buying the ticket if. Well, I guess no. They go tell their friends. Yeah. The line's not in there. Don't go.
And again, it didn't end up mattering because nobody went to see the fucking movie anyway. But...
I saw it.
Well, bully for you.
Damn.
I find those things interesting. It is very interesting because that was huge.
Yeah,
that was a huge thing. And you would think that, like, what the hell do I know? I haven't actually done the research. Maybe it did end up making a bunch of money, and I'm just not aware of it.
Probably those probably that huge, magic probably overseas over that magic overseas money.
Yeah, you got to get that that Chinese money. That's the money that you want.
Yeah,
that's a true. I'm not being like that's a thing. Like the Chinese market is huge.
The biggest paycheck I've gotten. Well, they took Chinese taxes out, but still, I sold the rights to Six Wakes to China, and it was massive. It was like three times what Orbit paid me.
That's crazy, and that's awesome. I love that. Also, the artwork for the Chinese versions of your book.
Oh, it was glorious.
That spectacular artwork. Yeah.
But anyway, so we've established that we're not going to New Zealand. Most of us are not going to New Zealand. If anybody is still going to New Zealand, well, I mean, have a nice vacation, and I hope you're not quarantined when you get there, and I hope you're not quarantined when you get back.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess you can still go to New Zealand if you want. If you were going to go for the con, it seems a little contrary, but, you know, either way. Yeah. I'm not telling you what to do. You do you.
Exactly. But the Nebulous just did this, too. We got to talk about this virtual convention thing. Now, we've talked about what conventions can do for authors a couple of times here, and now they're trying to do a virtual convention, and I'm just curious what you're thinking about that.
I mean, I feel like it's a good idea, and I feel like we probably should have come to this earlier. Like, it shouldn't have taken a pandemic to move us in this direction.
A lot of disabled people are saying the same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, that's becoming true of so many. Like, work from home, that's another huge one. This is all just really revealing that there we absolutely can make things way more accessible, and we just don't because we're assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, and again, I'm not even being facetious. This is entirely true. We just didn't want to. Because when we need to, suddenly it's not a fucking problem. Suddenly everybody can work from home, and we can have all the conventions virtually, and it's not a big deal. We just didn't want to before. But yeah, for and I mean, it's for so many reasons, because we talked about, well, we talked about conventions in the past. We've also talked about how ungodly expensive they are.
Mm-hmm.
The shoddy safety policies that so many of them still have. There's the accessibility issue. There's just all kinds of issues with conventions that I think moving them more towards a virtual space can really solve for so many people. And I'm for one, I'm glad it's moving in that direction. I hope it's not just a we're doing this right now while everybody's scared thing, and as soon as we can get away with not doing it, we'll go back to doing the physical thing.
Yeah.
That's just my personal – I know a lot of people like going to conventions. I also should preface this by saying that in my head, I kind of decided I don't ever want to go to a convention again. Just because I don't personally enjoy them. And again, they're so ridiculously expensive for what you get out of them. But like, I know many people want to go to a convention. I'm not saying that there should never be a physical gathering again, but you could certainly have a hybrid model, you know, where you do a combination of both at the very least and give people the option.
Yes.
And I think that's what a lot of people are saying coming into this. And I do really, again, I really do feel for the people with accessibility issues of any kind who are watching all this going on and being like, so the last fucking half century of this, we could have done this anytime, really. Well, not the last half century, obviously. The technology hasn't been there forever. But certainly the last couple
decade,
of decades.
Yeah.
We could have made this work a lot better for a lot of people. And it's very hard realizing that they just didn't want it. But yeah, I think it's a good thing. And I think it's a model that should be integrated even after concerns about the pandemic are, you know, hopefully no longer an issue. I don't want to assume anything, but I'm hoping that this will end at some point.
Yeah. But one thing I'm worried about is that I do like conventions. And conventions have definitely helped me in my career because of just spending time with people, meeting people, hanging out at the bar or a party or coffee. You know, it doesn't have to be alcoholic, but just spending time with other professionals is good for your career. And I am wondering if they're going to be trying to replicate that part of a convention in any way. And if so, how?
Right. No, and I don't disagree with any of that. It's absolutely true. I met the agent that I have now at WorldCon. Like, that's where I signed with my agent. You know, we've gotten to accept Hugo Awards at conventions. Like, I've had amazing experiences and made really important connections and formed really important relationships at conventions too. I'm not saying that they're not valuable. I just have arrived at a place where I'm just kind of over it. But that's just me. I'm old and cranky. All that is still valid. So I guess what you're talking about, Murr, is like they need to figure out how to do like virtual bar con.
Yeah.
If they're gonna do virtual conventions.
Yeah.
It's funny because we were talking about that in my agent Slack. My agent was saying like it's gonna be virtual WorldCon, so we should all get together and have a virtual cocktail or beverage of your choice.
Yeah.
So it is entirely possible that that'll get taken care of for kind of the system, you know, because the bar con and the social stuff always kind of, not always, but a very large part of it seems to me that it happens on its own, you know. And it's really just the enablement of having everybody have a focal point for it.
Yeah.
Like this. So I think you could argue that just having the convention, even if you're having it virtually, it's going to give everybody an excuse to try to get together in that context. Because that's, you know, that's what people do when you have a physical con. Like, you're all in the same place, so you have a reason to get together. So I guess if you're going to have that virtual con over a weekend, then it's still an excuse for everybody to, like, budget time to get online and talk to everybody. But then, you know, that you do get into the thing of, like, you can't randomly run into somebody you wouldn't have otherwise run into.
Exactly. That's the kind of thing that makes me sad. Or you can't just, you know, you can't accidentally meet somebody and realize that they could be good for your career. I mean, that's how I met my editor. I didn't know who she was, but we just met in a line for a drink and, you know, hit it off and kept talking. So, of course there's going to be stuff lost, obviously, but it's like when I had the idea for this show, I thought, well, we can give advice, but I realize it's so new that I don't know what kind of advice to give because I don't know how people are going to handle it. I know one thing they're going to do is, I don't know how, I guess they've got, I don't know how the Nebulas are going to do this because it's pretty soon, but they are going to have, you still have to buy a membership. So you, obviously, the whatever Zoom or stuff is going on, you are not going to just hop in and see it. You still have to pay your monies.
You still have to pay your money and take some chances.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're absolutely right. I would hope that it'll still be more cost effective than going to an actual.
Oh, of course. Thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not complaining about the money. I'm more saying it's just something that I'm curious how they're going to handle it. I guess just passwords and stuff, but it's if anybody thinks that taking convention virtual is going to lessen the price of the tickets, that is not so. And granted, most conventions are like $20-$30, but the big professional conventions, World Fantasy, World Con, and the Nebulas are, you know, pretty pricey overall compared to other conventions.
No, absolutely. You get into hundreds of dollars, and I mean, yeah, that is a thing. Your huge costs are still flight and hotel overall. So dropping that, I think, will still make it much more affordable. So I don't think that's too bad. Not, you know, not that a couple hundred bucks isn't a lot of money for a lot of people, but it still makes it a million times more manageable than having to pay for all that other crap.
Sure.
And you know, like, if you're organized, I've never objected to, like, having to pay a price or a membership to get into a thing, because, you know, cons do cost money, you know, to organize and put on. I've just always thought that the sum total of everything that you end up paying just becomes really disproportionate to what you get from the event. You know, that's all. So I think that's what really brings this into alignment, is you take all that other stuff away and whatever you're paying for the membership, you know, it's coming much more into line with what you get out of actually doing the event.
And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have to pay for the con now. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that if you think it's going virtual, is the fact that you can just go to a website and look at it for free. That's not the way it's going to happen. You still have to pay your dues. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not objecting.
And I don't know if there'll be some version of, again, going back to the BarCon thing, because I know plenty of people, and I've done it myself, who will go to a convention and not buy the membership and just hang out at the non-membership areas, you know, and just commiserate with folks.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there'll be a version of that, if there'll be, like, a lurker's lounge where you can sign into if you don't have a membership to the convention.
Well, I think that's just called Slack.
Yeah, that's just having a Slack group.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing with that is you do kind of get into a, you know, if just anybody can sign into it, I don't, you know, you get into a whole other area of, like, liability, and, you know, it basically becomes chat roulette. It'll become like dick pics immediately. So you do need control measures
Yeah.
for that, for this kind of thing. Because again, at least with the, you know, with BarCon, even if you didn't buy a membership, you had to pay to fly to the place and get a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to go through steps to be there. You couldn't just walk in off the street randomly. So I guess you don't want people doing that in your virtual convention either, because that probably wouldn't be good.
Sure.
Because I've been there plenty of times with random people who've crashed BarCon, and it's not been particularly fun because, you know, people. But I don't know, Mario. I do. There is, like you say, you do lose things, and there's no way around that. But ultimately, you gain things too. And I don't know. Life finds a way. I'm just gonna fall back on the Jurassic Park wisdom for this thing, I think.
That's cool. You can do that.
But again, we don't have any answers because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I'm also wondering if things are going to be real time. Like, if they have people, like participants, log in to speak about whatever panel they were going to speak about, is it going to be, it's happening at this time, 3:00 in the afternoon, and no other time? It's like, or do you think they're recording it to go up later? I'm really curious how it's going to happen.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know. It's really wild, and will be wild to see, but I definitely think it's worth pursuing. And I mean, the thing you're going to have to expect going into this is the first few big conventions to do this, it's going to be a clusterfuck.
Like, yeah.
There's no way around it, and I can't even be... I mean, I'm not letting anybody off the hook for not being as organized as you can be, but just with anything that you're doing for the first time, there's going to be all kinds of technological failures and all kinds of fuck-ups that happen, because you're basically beta testing at that point.
Yeah, there's going to be stuff you don't anticipate.
Yeah, and a lot of things you figure out that you didn't, you know, like you said, that you didn't anticipate before, and it's a learning process. So I would definitely advise people be ready for that going into these things, because there's just no way around that. And you're going to have a certain level of understanding about it and realize that you're kind of a guinea pig in this instance. And everyone is, and there's no way around it.
Yeah.
But again, I still think it's worth doing. I think it's worth going through that to find a version of this process that can carry forward, because I think it's something that should be integrated into the whole con going experience. The other thing that I do find exciting about it, because another, like, I mean, you could argue this is very low on the list of all the things that are wrong with conventions. I mean, not that low, I don't know, but like archiving conventions has always been a huge problem, you know?
Like not doing it or doing it poorly or what?
Archiving the events, like providing recordings of the event.
Sure.
And, you know, keep helping them live after the event. Because a lot of really good things, as much as I hate panels and I hate panels, I hate panels. A lot of amazing things do happen at conventions. A lot of amazing one-time events. You know, you get authors and speakers and very interesting historic figures together. And, you know, they give these talks and you have these conversations and you know, a lot of times these really magical things happen. And a lot of that gets just lost to history because there isn't any kind of formal process set up to either record or to archive that recording after the fact. But I feel like if you're doing everything virtually, it provides a much better context to record everything and save everything. And I would think that should be something that's integrated into there, because, you know, then you can go, and, you know, it could be another way to generate revenue too, or even maybe make ticket prices more, membership prices more affordable, is after the fact you can sell for a very small fee access to the library of the convention. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's existed to this point. Maybe it does, and I just don't know about it.
If it does, they don't advertise it well.
Yeah, but I mean, I've always just felt like there's no reason there shouldn't be like a WorldCon archive or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So that could be something that this provides an easier, better context for. That I would be down for, because a lot, it's really sad to think about, like, all the amazing events that have happened over the many years of conventions that there's just no recordings of. Like, you hear anecdotes about them and whatnot, but there's no recordings of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when somebody is a giant fucking asshole in one of these things, that would be on the record too, and they wouldn't be able to weasel out of it, which I would enjoy very much, because that's another thing that happens. Is someone's a huge dick on a panel or behaves terribly, And then after the fact, they argue that that, well, no, it didn't really go down like that, and everybody's overreacting. Here we would have evidence of it.
That's true. And it would be widely available.
So that would make me happy. So that's just something that occurred to me while you were saying that. It's just this could be also be a mechanism for recording and archiving conventions and convention events that I think is needed. You know, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, so do you think you'll be checking out any of the virtual conventions since you don't have to go there physically?
I think I would be more inclined to. I don't foresee myself. I wasn't planning on attending any conventions this year or going to Worldcon, unless we got nominated for an award or something. That's a whole other conversation that we're not going to get into right now. But I don't think I want to be, like I said, I'm not sure I want to be one of the beta testers for this thing. I might wait like a year or two until they get all the bugs worked out, and then I might consider hitting one up.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I'm just not a good test case. I want everybody to enjoy the event free of my grouchery. Of my grumps. But I would be more, seriously though, I would be more inclined to participate in a virtual convention than in a physical convention once I knew that they'd kind of worked the bugs out and I understood what the format was. You know.
Well, you know, another thing they could do moving forward is this allows for people who can't make the convention, including panelists. If they want a panelist for a convention, they can bring somebody in virtually.
Yeah, absolutely. It broadens it. Yeah, it totally broadens the field for guests, too. You know, I mean, there are definitely plenty of people who aren't going to travel to a convention that'll be more willing to do it if they can do it in their pajamas from their home. You know?
Yes.
Again, I'd be more inclined to do that too. I wouldn't because, I hate panels and I don't know. But the idea is, even for me, the idea is appeal. It's like, oh, I wouldn't have to leave the house. That's really cool. So, no, that's absolutely true. It provides greater access for the convention goers to guests that they wouldn't get otherwise. From all over the world, too, because then that it also negates that whole factor of how far do you have to travel? You know, is it inconvenient? Is it too expensive? So, yeah, I would hope that, you know, I hadn't even thought about that. Again, it's a new thing, but so that's a really good point. But I hadn't even thought about that. But, the potential to bring together so many more and different people than we ever have before. Of course, you know, like the first, I don't know if it'll be WorldCon, but, you know, one of these first conventions is going to be like, You had virtual access to everyone in the world, and it's still five old white dudes on this panel. Like, you know that's going to happen. Like,
yeah.
Literally remove all excuses from this process, and that'll still be a thing that we have to, like, work the bugs out of. It'll be like, yeah. Sorry, that occurred to me immediately on the heels of, well, we can get anybody. Well, they're still just going to get the same five old white dudes, because that's what they do.
Because one of their favorite old white dudes couldn't come to the convention.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, ideally, that should be a very cool and exciting thing. And a positive way to look at this. Because it's very easy to look at what's happening as a negative, you know.
Yeah.
When you're like, you wanted the excitement of going to New Zealand, and you want to be around people, and you just kind of see this as, well, this is kind of leftovers. You know, I don't think it is. I really do think this is providing new and exciting opportunity to do something different that could be better in a lot of ways, even if you do lose other things, you know, that were unmitigatedly good about the physical experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is exciting, Mer. That's an exciting thought. You've excited me.
Oh, good. Good.
Not a weird
goal.
One.
I know.
Just intellectually.
We're good. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. That was Mer's don't make it weird tone. You get to understand that after podcasting with Mer for a long time. That's the I'm heading this off of the past before it gets weird time.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I recognize that.
And then you hung a lantern on it and made it weird.
I didn't make it all the way weird. I made it funny.
Okay. All right. You made it funny. It's funny now.
That's
okay.
Mer throwing us a bone. You get to know that too. Anyway,
is there anything else you want to say about virtual conventions? I am interested if you've made a decision to attend virtually Worldcon or the Nebulas based on these moves. I'm really curious to hear your your thoughts on it. If you want to email us, mightymer@gmail.com. But is there anything else you want to say about it, Matt?
I'm not sure. So you're doing the thing, right? You're actually going to do it. Because you didn't say. I don't think you said.
You mean, well, I mean, I signed up to do a panel, do panels at Worldcon. I have an attending membership, so I'm going to be keeping close tabs on what they're doing. And I think this is a very, very American-centered point of view, and I admit that. But going to New Zealand gives me incentive to get on New Zealand time.
That is actually, hey, that's another
staying
good
home.
Point. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sorry, sweetie, I have to get up at 3 a.m. to do a panel. That's going to be tough. It's going to be tougher.
No, you're absolutely right. Again, I absolutely had not flashed on that. That should be obvious. It's one of those things that a lot of people aren't going to think about until the last minute.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those unexpected bugs, so I'm glad that you brought it up, because now we're telling people. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. You're gonna be on the other side of the world. And like you said, that's not everybody.
No.
Because we live here, but I mean, that's still a thing. Like, when they have one of these in America, then it's going to be that way for people in, you know, Australia.
So. Exactly. Yeah, and, I mean, I will definitely stay up and watch the Hugos, but it's going to be harder for me just to say, yeah, I'll do, like, two panels, one at 1 p.m. local and one at 5 p.m. local, so I get to get up twice in the middle of the night.
Right.
It'll be just like feeding a newborn, so... I am curious on how they're going to do that, because I acknowledge it's not fair for me to say have more, Eastern to Pacific time zone panels. That's not right. They're doing a New Zealand con, and there were going to be mostly New Zealanders coming to it. So it's hopefully they'll have a lot of local attendance and interest.
I mean, I definitely don't think it's right to try to make everything centered around our schedule or anything. But
right.
I will say, I don't think it's unreasonable to take in, if you're going to still invite guests from, you know, 15 hours in the past or whatever the fuck
yeah.
it is, like, I don't think it's unreasonable that you should take that into consideration when booking their schedules and whatnot. It'll be interesting to see how they deal with that, or if they've even thought of it. They may not have even thought of it. Again, Marie, you don't know. You don't know the stuff that they're going to cover or not. Maybe somebody should bring that up to them just in case.
Yeah.
Be like, you've got people that are going to have to be up at 3 in the morning to do the panel, right? Maybe they can have a different con schedule, or just some alternative schedule for scheduling for that crowd. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting thing to work out, though. It'll be interesting to get up at 3 in the morning to follow the Hugos. I probably won't do it. I'll probably just fall asleep, and you can tell me what happened the next day.
Okay.
Because I know you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Since you've already said you're going to do it, you've left me off the hook. I can be, oh, well, Merle cover that. I'll just ask her what happened.
Sure. I'll give you the play-by-play or the high points.
You know what'll be cool is, because since it's going to be virtual and you don't have to go there, maybe they can actually get someone to accept the TV and film awards that they give out.
Maybe.
Like, maybe they can actually get somebody who'll take 5 minutes in Hollywood to be like, oh, yeah, I don't know what this is, but thanks, I guess.
You yeah.
Know? That's probably hoping for too much.
Probably.
But it would just I'm sorry, it never fails to amuse the crap out of me. But anyway.
Especially during the San Jose Worldcon.
Yeah, when it was like 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
From Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to go. They had to go to like fucking, you know, England when David Tennant showed up that one time, right? That was what that was.
Yes, that was in England.
Yeah, so they had to go to England to get somebody to show up to accept one of those fucking awards. It shouldn't be to be that way, but it's just funny to me that it is. Also, I mean, this is why I think they should try nominating more reasonable people for those awards. But that's another subject for another time. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff I'm still not thinking about, because you brought up so many points that I hadn't thought about. But again, I do think overall it's a good thing to experiment with and figure out, and I hope that what emerges from it is some workable model that can be used, you know, when they don't have to do it anymore. Because that's my kind of overriding fear about, well, you know, my first fear is the whole world being infected with a pandemic and dying. But like underneath that is the fear that after this is all over and we're given like the okay to like return to normal, that all of these lessons we've learned while this is going on will just be completely forgotten about immediately, you know?
Yeah.
And we'll go back to making nothing accessible for anyone, even though we absolutely have the ability to relatively easily.
Yeah.
So I hope that doesn't happen, Mer. I hope that this is one of the things that we keep going forward.
Me too.
But right. I'm a simple man with big dreams. It's just me and John Lennon. That's not true either. He was a fucking millionaire. He didn't. He was a materialistic bastard. Imagine his bullshit. Anyway. Crushing dreams.
You're just doing like fighting words and then just
what?
Leaving
it's
it.
Truth. Come out.
Oh, like, I'm not going to fight you. Somebody is.
I get it, but like, it's the truth. Imagine there are no possessions. I sing from my fucking $2 million penthouse in Manhattan. Fuck you. I'm not saying you should have got shot or anything, but it's
no, no, I know.
Thought. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that'll be interesting. But like you said, Mar, I would like to hear from folks about their plans if they decided to go, what they're thinking for it. That would be interesting. We could do a little follow-up ski on the show. I don't know why I added a ski to that.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, we could do a live Ditch Diggers only just from here.
We could. You know, we wouldn't need – that's true. We could just do it. That's, like, another interesting – okay, so I know, like, probably a lot of you who listen to this aren't, like, wrestling fans, but one of the – one of – yet on the long list of shitty things that are happening because of this pandemic is – WrestleMania weekend is being canceled. WrestleMania is the big WWE event that happens once a year. That's like a huge brand in sports/entertainment.
Right.
And WrestleMania happens. All of these independent wrestling companies will flock to wherever WrestleMania is happening, and they'll have shows the same weekend. Of this giant concentration of wrestling fans who converge on this place, like 100,000 people, you know.
Yeah, a lot of small local cons do that when there's a world con in a big destination city, and they'll have like a con either before or after, so people have a reason if they're going to be staying a week. We might as well go to that other con.
Yeah, no, that's a smart thing to do, and that's something that's been devastated by all this, like everything else, and it's very sad. But it does occur to me that that could be another opportunity for this virtual convention. It's a good primer for people to do their own virtual side events. Especially if you're not charging any money for people to take part in them, which if we did Ditch Diggers, I doubt we would be charging money.
No,
no. But it would be a good way. It'd be a good incentive. Like people are already budgeting time to be online and participating in this thing and setting up the apps, and you know they're into the spirit. It'd be a good occasion to do your own kind of online side events, you know, for it, which is something that is way easier to do than going to a city and putting on a small satellite con.
Yeah,
you know, anybody can do their own kind of free online event now, mainly. So that could be cool.
So what could we do?
Well, like us specifically?
Yeah.
Well, we would do. You just said it. We would do our live Ditch Diggers that weekend. You mean like something besides that?
No, I just wanted more information, more ideas.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what we would use to do that. I haven't done an online seminar in like 10 years, so the technology's completely changed, I'm sure. But I don't know. It could be a weekend thing. We could get everybody there for a live Ditch Diggers and then do some kind of like maybe like workshop or something. Ditch Diggers workshop. Business workshop. Everybody does writing workshops. We could do a business workshop.
Ooh. Now that is interesting.
Yeah. I'd be down for that. That'd be a good thing to do. Writing business workshop. We could do that. We could do that WorldCon weekend. You could come for free, and we could get some good guests who are very business savvy, or you know, or different areas. We could get a fucking accountant, Mer. We could get an accountant.
Whoa.
And we could talk about business and money for writers.
Wow! And they'll tell us how to get some.
They'll tell us how to finally make some money doing this shit.
Yes. I'm excited.
No, we could do that, though. We could do our live DD, and then we could do, like, a business workshop. I think it'd be a cool thing to do. You know, and if you're out there and there's something you want to do, folks, you should think about doing it. Because why not? Why not put it on? You can do it from your own home, and everybody will be down for it.
Yeah.
So, throwing that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, now the ball's in your court, people.
It is. That's a sports analogy.
That's that sure is a thing or, you said.
Or metaphor.
Yeah.
Metaphor. Metaphor.
Yeah.
I know word concept things.
You do know word concept things. Are we talking about anything feedback-wise? Is there any discussion on the Twitters? Or
I think we did. We don't have any new Twitter questions, but that's on me because I haven't been diligent about calling out for them when we record. I need to do that more.
That's okay. There's really only one thing people are talking about on Twitter right now, so...
no, they're not... also talking about Animal Crossing.
That's true. They are. They are. I have a green pig who's a jock who wanders around my farm and tells me what he's lifting in order to increase his muscles.
I'm sorry. I just find that really funny.
I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating at all.
So what does he bench?
He hasn't given me a number yet, which makes me a little skeptical because I hear that those kinds of guys are all about the numbers.
They are. They're all about the gains.
Yeah, so... Does
the pig have a name? Or?
Cobb.
The pig's name is Cobb.
The pig's name is Cobb.
Just picturing Cobb, like, going up to pigs who don't lift. Like, do you even lift, bro? Like, what is this? This is weak sauce, bro. You need to plate up.
Oh, my God.
6 a.m. tomorrow morning. I want to see you in the gym. You're going to plate up, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, yeah.
And then they're like, who the fuck was that? Fucking weak sauce, bro. It's just funny to me. I'm sorry. It's nothing to do with anything. I just find that insanely funny. So that's what you're choosing to do with your Animal Crossing time.
I'm not doing a lot. It's not, there's nothing much to do. It's just, you know, whenever I talk to him, he gets me on a sports analogy or metaphor or tells me, you know, when I put in a bridge, he told me that he was getting a lot of leaping practice when jumping over the thing, the river. But now he can, like, saying something about lifting the bridge now so he can work on his muscles instead of his jumping. So to be fair, I never saw him jump across the river once.
This just needs to be a whole separate podcast that we do.
It really does.
You just describe your Animal Crossing experience. That's all it is.
It's a big soap opera thing. Actually, I do want to promote something which is ridiculous because, like, when you promote your video, at least it's about writing. But this is not about writing at all. But this is something that I'm doing for my own mental health and to play with Twitch. And that's I'm live streaming Stardew Valley. And I love Stardew Valley very much. And I started doing it on Twitch. And I almost... Actually, I think I have my audio and video set up right, and I've done it twice so far. And so far, it's been mostly audience members of... I should be writing a Discord people because we talk about it in the Discord, but I don't know if I've actually had any gamers show up and watch, but it's still been a lot of fun and peaceful to just wander around and farm and talk shit about the people in town in Stardew Valley.
So you're talking shit about the people? You're gossiping, Mer?
Oh yeah, totally.
You're sipping tea in Stardew
Valley? These people are not saints, man. They're not. And I'd tell you about it, but I should just tell you. You should just listen to the live stream, and
I mean,
you'll learn all about it there.
Who wouldn't want to watch you live stream? Who wouldn't want to do that? I encourage everyone to go check out Mer talking shit on the townsfolk on Twitter. That's a perfectly valid use of all of our times, and I encourage it wholeheartedly.
It's a... Twitch, my username is Mighty Mer, as usual.
As usual. Yeah, go check out Mighty Mer on Twitch. I know I will be doing that.
So anything in the Twitters? I think we got distracted.
No.
No.
We didn't get distracted. I definitively said that we're not.
Right. Sorry. I don't think we have anything in the emails, so let me check. Hang on, you vamp.
Vamp. Play me some filler, Johnny. I'm looking at my desktop, and it's a tweet from a professional wrestler named Brandon Cutler, who's a big gamer, and he's showing off his Dwarven Forge Mountain Cavern setup that he's done, that he's built. That's really cool. It's Brand Cutler on Twitter. I recommend it. He's a cool dude. He's bridging pro wrestling and tabletop gaming, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife makes all of his ring gear, and it's like fantasy themed. It's really cool.
Oh, cool.
Very sweet.
Actually, all my questions are I Should Be Writing related, so I suppose I should get on those and say there's not much, there's nothing in there for ditch diggers, except we still need to get an industry professional on the show to talk about that thing that's really hard to talk about.
Yes, we do need to do that. In the meantime, if you would like to send us ditch diggers, writing business, business of writing related questions, Murray, you can do that. Not you. You are on the show. You don't need to send us questions. You can just ask questions if you have them on
the
show.
Which I do. Yeah.
But if the listeners want to do it, they can send it to mightymurr@gmail.com, put ditch diggers in the subject line, and ask your freelancing business question, and we will answer it.
Yes. And,
or you can get on the goddamn Twitters, Murr.
Yes.
Hashtag diggers. Ask us whatever you want. And that's another way to do it.
Exactly. There are many ways to do it. We have all the ways. But most importantly, folks, wash your hands. And if you haven't lost your job and you can afford it and things are stable in your home right now, consider joining the Patreon. It's patreon.com/mightymurr. A couple of people have had to step back their support or end it entirely, and they're very sweet, and they try to explain to me, and I'm like, dude, you don't have to. I appreciate whatever support we've gotten from people and know for a fact that it's really tough right now. And but if you can, consider us, and or consider other artists, or consider your local businesses. Yeah, just want to just put that out there. And what else?
I have a book coming out.
Yes, you do.
If you still have money, if people still have money, and I echo everything Mer said about the Patreon, by the way, like, you guys and girls and non-binary folks, you gotta do what you can do for you, so don't worry about us, we'll be fine.
Oh, but wait a minute, I forgot. I forgot one thing. The people here don't know this. I opened the Patreon, opened the Discord to all supporters of the Patreon. Usually, before it was like $5 and up, but I opened it to everybody now. And so, if you support at the $1 level, you can get in on the Discord. Sorry,
nice.
Go on. Yeah.
I like it.
Sorry, go on.
No, that's fine. That's important information. I encourage everyone to take advantage of that. But as I was saying...
Like, yes.
No, I have a book coming out in July. And not an easy time to have a book coming out.
No.
I have it a lot easier than folks whose books are actually coming out, like, now.
Yeah.
Now is, like, right now is a very time, is a very hard time to have a book coming out. And if you have the money to do so, please do support authors who have books coming out right now, because their releases are just getting buried, and it's very sad. My book is coming out at the end of July, on July 21st, 4 days before Murr's and my birthday, because we share a birthday. And so I got a little time. Hopefully my release will not get buried any more than it already was going to get buried by then. But what you can do to help is to pre-order Savage Legion, the first book in my new epic fantasy trilogy. Did you know, Murr, that as we record this morning, Savage Legion got a starred review in Library Journal?
Shit, no, that's awesome!
That is the thing that just happened.
Congratulations, dude!
Thank you very much. It's the book's first review. It's the first review that's been published for the book. It was in Library Journal, and it got a starred review.
It's really good to know that Library Journal's still reading.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no, they covered a bunch of new stuff. They're on top of it, man. But yeah, so... I posted the write-up on my Twitter. It was very nice. So, yeah, starred review in Library Journal. Available for pre-order right now. Very proud of the book. It's the biggest book in scope and length and creativity, dare I say, that I've ever done. Very proud of it. Would really appreciate it. If folks, if you can, go and give it a pre-order. Pre-orders are very important. It would help me out immensely. So please consider doing that if you can.
Well, I've already ordered two copies for myself, so I think we'll be doing a giveaway of at least one here on the show.
Absolutely, that'll be a good thing to do, and I'm excited to do that. So, but don't count on winning the book, because only one person can win the book. You
That's
should
true.
pre-order it anyway, and then if you win the book, you can give that copy to someone special in your life.
There you go.
And you don't have to tell them you want it for free. They can think that you bought it. We won't say anything.
Exactly.
So that's just a suggestion. You do whatever you want with the
That's
book.
true. Here is
Not here
what
to tell you.
exactly you have to do with this book we're giving you.
Yeah, they're allowed to do
Everything.
for our giveaways. We're very stringent about that. So, but yeah, so that'll be a cool thing. And I appreciate that, Murr, very much. Thank you. You're a good friend.
Oh, sure. I did it both for you and our friendly local bookstore, so.
Yeah, I've been posting the IndieBound link when I promote the book, and very much encourage folks to pre-order it from your local bookstore if you can. Even if they're not operating right now, a lot of them are still taking orders and
Oh,
still
they
shipping.
are. They are. My local bookstore, Flyleaf, is taking orders. They have books available on book release day, which is a Tuesday. I ordered Nora Jemisin's new book, and they called me on Tuesday to tell me it was in. And I still haven't been able to go by and pick it up because I don't go to that area very often, and I try not to go out of the house. But they do have like pickup hours even. So bookstores are still doing stuff.
They are. They absolutely are. And everyone, you should, if your local bookstore is still doing stuff, you should absolutely support them. And if you're not sure what other local bookstores are in your area, again, you can go to indiebound.org, put in your zip code, it'll tell you,
Yes.
hey, there are these independent bookstores near you, and you can buy books from them. So everybody should do that if you can. Support local bookstores and support them by pre-ordering my book specifically.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then we all win, Murr. It's win-win-win.
Win, win, win. That's level five of the conflict resolution.
It absolutely is. It's like a cage match. Of course they work. Everybody would still be in the cage otherwise.
Yes, I just rewatched that this morning. That's funny.
Oh, that is funny. It's a good episode.
It definitely is. Especially with the Indiana Jones callback at the very end.
I'm blanking on that. What happened?
They're putting away Dwight's complaints about Jim
Oh,
in
the
the
Rachel Dratch
warehouse with the
box.
forklift, just like they were putting away the Ark of the Covenant in that massive warehouse at the end of Indiana Jones.
I forgot about the box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to Michael. I gave him the box. What box? That's funny. Anyway, we're talking about The Office, by the way.
Yeah,
If you're not an
sorry.
Office watcher, the last 5 minutes have been completely incomprehensible to you. But
Sorry
yeah,
about that.
that's The Office. We should end the show now, Murr.
We should. Wash your hands, Matt, and take care of yourself and give your awesome wife a hug for me, okay?
Likewise to you and Jim and your brilliant daughter.
And everybody, go wash your hands and hug your loved ones, unless they're quarantined, and then like say sweet things through the door at them because they'll need to hear it.
And you'll both cry. It'll be great.
Good note to end it on. I hate everything. You can support us at patreon.com/mightymur.
Ditch diggers!
Theme song by Devo Spice, devospice.com.